Adrian is gone! Pitching over the middle, caught, touchdown!
Sack finished by Kevin Williams. Play action and boom! He's buried. It was Antoine Winfield. Intercepted by E.J. Henderson.
And it's Jared Allen.
And it's intercepted by Chad Greenway.
And there he goes. Percy Harvin is gone.
It's Vikings Tonight on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your weekly connection to Minnesota Vikings football. Vikings Tonight is brought to you by U.S. Bank, Verizon, and Mall of America.
Touchdown Vikings!
Now, here's your host of Vikings Tonight, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Indeed, Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network is here with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Wobby, let's take a tour around the NFC North over the next couple of weeks. It's between minicamp and training camp. Preseason begins August 10th in San Francisco for the Minnesota Vikings. And we're happy to be joined now by Sean Jensen. He covers the NFL and the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. Sean, Mike Wobshaw, Paul Allen, welcome to Vikings Tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, former Vikings, Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Tice is the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears. How has that worked through minicamp, and how are the players buying into what he's selling?
Well, as you know, Paul, I mean, Mike is the kind of guy who likes to try to work around his best players, and I think he's been real amenable to Jay Cutler and some of the other offensive players, playmakers. So I think those guys are really sort of embracing what he's bringing to the table at this point. And I think that the biggest concern about the Bears and their offense right now is just that offensive line. They didn't do a whole lot to upgrade it this offseason. And it really is going to fall on Mike Tice and his ability to, you know, coach that unit and cover up some of their issues.
Sean, one of the playmakers that Mike Tice is going to have and Jay Cutler is going to have is now Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver that they acquired from Miami this offseason. Now, this isn't your typical acquisition of a wide receiver, because Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler have a pre-existing relationship. That's going to be a huge factor for them, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And they've already hit the ground running, those two, at minicamp. So they're both big fans of each other. Neither of them has a flawless reputation around the league and things. But these two guys really they treat each other like brothers. So I think they've each got a chip on their shoulder, and they want to do some big things and take both their games to a new level this year.
Hey, Sean, I'm a Gabe Kiremi fan, second-year guy from Wisconsin. When he became injured last year, the already suspect offensive line gained some more questions. Do you think Gabe Kiremi is an upper echelon offensive lineman if he stays healthy and when he finds his feet?
Big if, and absolutely. I mean, that's the big thing about Gabe Kiremi. I mean, up to that point, I know it was just the second game of the season, but he really was already playing like the best lineman, you know, in that unit, which is kind of alarming, to be honest with you, that a young player like that could already be your best player in the unit. So it's a big question, though, because he's had several knee issues, and right now things are looking fine. But, if he can stay healthy, absolutely, he would clearly be the best offensive lineman and would help things. But I still think you got to figure out that left tackle position. I mean, Kiremi right now is going to play right tackle, and Jamarcus Webb has a lot of athleticism, and he's Mike Tice's pet project. But he's got to figure out a way to be a consistent player, because, as we all know, you know, that's going to be Jay Cutler, the right-handed quarterback's blindside. And Webb has got to be consistent in order for the Bears' offense to be consistently successful.
Sean, with Tice as the offensive coordinator, do you anticipate any philosophical changes to the offense? It seemed from afar to be a pretty balanced offense. They want to stretch the field a little bit, but they also they'll also run it a little bit too. Any changes coming up?
Well, it's going to be very different from what Mike March did. I think you're going to see some of the same sort of plays, but I think the way that Mike Tice is going to call the game is going to be very different. You know, I think you're going to see some more, multi tight end sets. I think you're going to see a lot of running the ball. But I think you're going to see a lot of stretch plays where they try to get the ball down the field and give Jay Cutler an opportunity to work it. I also think you're not going to see as much of the quick-hitting stuff that Mike Bartz was trying to do with Jay Cutler, which is not a strength of his.
This is Sean Jensen from the Chicago Sun-Times. We are taking a tour around the NFC North beginning this week, updating you on the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about the Packers and the Lions in coming weeks. And in the second segment of Vikings Tonight, Wabi from Vikings.com and yours truly will discuss Minnesota Vikings football. Wabi?
Hey, Sean, what's going to be the plan with Devin Hester? Is he going to be more of an offensive weapon for them, and they're going to continue trying to make him a receiver? I believe the Bears signed Eric Weems to do some of the return jobs. What do you see happening with Devin Hester?
Well, I think Mike Tice wants to develop a Devin ratio. So he wants to.
Good luck.
I'm just joking. That was a joke. The plan will be for Devin to primarily handle punts. He'll do an occasional kick return here and there. They really do want to have him sort of on a pitch count. The last couple seasons, he just has not been healthy to close out the season. He's been nicked up. So they want to just have him play X number of plays to try to keep him fresh. You're going to see him play on offense, and you're going to see him play quite a bit, but I just don't think you're going to see him play 45 snaps a game. It's really going to be probably in the 20s or something, or maybe low 30s on a consistent basis. So I think Devin's going to get plenty of opportunities to make plays. I think Mike Tice kind of sees it as a challenge to be that first coach to figure out a way to utilize Devin Hester as a receiver, because as you can see, he's already a Hall of Fame caliber return specialist with a special skill set, and nobody's really been able to harness that at the receiver position. So I think the Bears certainly want to try to do that now.
What do you think the reason is for that? Because when you have elite talent and elite speed like Devin Hester, it's very curious from afar, wondering why he doesn't play more plays and why he doesn't impact the game as a receiver more.
Well, I mean, part of it is, I think, him. I mean, he's not been able to capitalize on some opportunities. I can think of, plays that he's just missed on, or, maybe he drops have been an issue. But the other part is, I just don't think they run the right type of routes with him. The last couple coordinators just haven't run the right type of routes for Devin Hester. I mean, people are afraid of him going deep, and I think he's got to be used more on those sort of intermediate routes. The Bears have had a tendency to use him on quick screens or just set on field and try to throw him bombs. But what about the in-between? Because people are always going to respect that really deep speed. So I think that he could be really effective sort of on the, on the crosses and things like that, instead of, just relying on him to either be a guy who's going to catch the ball at the line of scrimmage or 40 yards down the field. They've got to be able to work the middle of the field with Devin Hester.
Let's switch gears a little bit and go to the defensive side of the ball. Is the Chicago Bears defense getting too old, Sean, or do you feel they have a good mix of veteran leadership and young talent coming up?
No, they don't have that mix yet. I mean, they are getting old, and you're wondering when it's going to kind of just stop. But the problem is these guys are all still playing at a Pro Bowl level. Charles Tillman had one of the finest seasons of his, strong career. Brian Urlacher rebounded, played at a Pro Bowl level. I don't personally think Lance Briggs played at a Pro Bowl level last year, but he did enough to earn that distinction. And Julius Peppers, to me, still remains one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. So those guys are kind of your heart and soul of that Bears defense. And at this point, there's no reason to think that they shouldn't, have another strong season in 2012 at least. Now, they've added some young guys who show potential, but they really, that's the alarming part right now about the Chicago Bears. As you look long-term, there's really no obvious players who are there to take the baton and run into the future.
Is Brian Urlacher nearing the end? I mean, he made all the dances last year, which he, hasn't been able to say all of his career. But when he is manning the middle, clearly it's a more squared-away defense. Do you sense he, while still being good, he is nearing the end?
Yeah, I think he's got probably a couple seasons left. I think he recently said he'd like to play two or three more years, and that sounds realistic. I mean, he's not moving the way what made Brian Urlacher exceptional was his combination of size and athleticism. And right now, what's made him very good is just that defense that it's second nature to him, but he doesn't quite have that explosiveness. I thought he had a really, really strong start to the year, but the last quarter of the season, I thought looked like he was starting to have some issues in terms of just having that same explosiveness he played with, and he didn't make the same sort of impact explosive plays that he was at the beginning of the year. So I think endurance is going to be a big question and challenge for Brian Urlacher.
Sean, with Matt Forte, the Bears running back, and the whole franchise tag situation, have you been keeping your finger on that pulse, and what's your perception of what's going on and where they are in terms of negotiations with his contract and whether Matt's going to show up for training camp and all of that?
I know that they're still talking. I fully expect a deal to get done before the July 16th deadline. That's kind of the deadline for them to come up with a long-term deal is July 16th. I think this is a classic situation of, 11th hour, a deal gets done. I think the Bears do want to reward Matt Forte. Matt Forte certainly wants to sign a long-term deal. And so I think that this is going to get done, just before the deadline. And, he'll show up to training camp and be the pro that he's been throughout. I mean, as far as I know, he's been in terrific shape. He's done a lot of you always wonder about players and what they're doing to maintain their fitness. But this guy works out really, really hard. He's been running a lot of hills. And, he posted a video like 2 weeks ago of him running up the hill that Walter Payton made famous in the Chicago area, with 100 pounds strapped on him. So I think that Matt Forte will be in fine shape when training camp starts.
Do you sense, in closing, the Chicago Bears are a legitimate playoff contender this year, Sean, or still too many questions to be answered?
No, I really do believe they are a playoff contender. I think what they were missing last year on offense was more bankable stars. All you really had was Matt Forte, and that was it. And the big question mark was people who could score touchdowns. And this offseason, the emphasis has been upgrading their ability to score touchdowns, getting a backup running back in Michael Bush, who's had a nose for the end zone, who's done very well in short yardage situations, adding somebody like Brandon Marshall, who is somebody who's the best receiver the Bears, automatically the best receiver the Bears have had in over a decade, without question. And then adding even a young guy like Alshon Jeffrey, a second-round pick out of South Carolina, who could be a real asset to them in the red zone. I think they've done plenty to, upgrade on offense. And then on defense, I think they've, shored up some things. One of the guys that was really a nice re-signing was Tim Jennings. I know people don't really think much of him around the league, but he's got a real good understanding of that Bears defense, and I think he's an insurance policy in case some of those young guys don't pan out. And so, yeah, I think that they've put themselves in a position where anything but making a legitimate run this next season would be a huge disappointment just based on all the splash that they made this offseason.
Sean, thanks a lot for the time for Vikings Tonight. Enjoy your offseason, and we'll catch up soon, okay?
All right, fellas, have a good one.
Yep, see ya. That's Sean Jensen from the Chicago Sun-Times, very well respected around the National Football League for his writing skills. He covers the Chicago Bears and the National Football League for said scribe. Let's Vikings Tonight spend a minute on the Chicago Bears. So much of the Bears' success is predicated on Brian Urlacher's health.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the man in the middle. He's the motivational leader defensively. But there have been so many times they've been going along well, and then he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets hurt and he's out for extended periods of time, the tentacles that fall apart just by one guy being out, I think a lot of the Bears' success is predicated on his health.
I completely agree. And we all you call the middle linebacker the quarterback of the defense. That's what Brian Urlacher is. I look at the Brian Urlacher situation in Chicago, and I can't help but think about Antoine Winfield here. When you look at total number of years in the league,
it's a good call,
and you see it's a high number,
yeah,
you immediately think, oh, man, he's getting to the end of it, and maybe he is.
Yeah.
But unlike most players, when they get to the end of their career, there's a steep drop-off in production. I don't think that's going to happen with Antoine. I think we're going to see him play at a high level this year, and yeah, I don't think that will happen with Brian Urlacher. I think he'll play at a high level again this year. And you were right. He's the heart and soul of that defense. And when he's playing well, the Bears play well. He got hurt in our game last at the end of last season and looked like it was going to be a pretty bad injury, but I don't think it's as bad as it looked like it was going to be, and so that's good news for the Bears, and I wouldn't be surprised if Urlacher plays at a high level this year.
In closing 30 seconds on their offense, with Jay Cutler, you know, the leadership skills have been called into question.
Yep.
I'm not one to judge that because I'm not around it, but with Alshon Jeffrey, the mercurial South Carolina kid, the big kid, and Brandon Marshall, and the fact that Matt Forte is as good as any running back in the NFL, maybe the best at catching the ball, it's going to be interesting to see how Mike Tice coordinates that offense and how they throw those little jabs, eventually trying to set up something big.
Yeah, you're right, and we saw that. Devin Hester burned us in our game at Chicago last year. And let's not forget the Chicago Bears. What were they, 7-3 when Cutler got hurt last year?
That's right.
That team's no joke. That is a playoff contender in the NFC North, and they should probably be a team that expects to go to the Super Bowl. That should be their internal expectation. And I think Jay Cutler has always had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I don't think that's going to change. I mean, you look at Jay Cutler. And he looks at young Matt Stafford racking up tons of passing yards and touchdowns last year. Aaron Rodgers dominating the NFC. And I think Jay Cutler thinks he can do that too. And he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder having missed some games last season. And now he has Brandon Marshall, who he has a great rapport with. I think Jay Cutler is going to he's going to be very motivated this season to perform at a high level, which he was doing last year until he got hurt. So that Chicago could be a dangerous team.
The Minnesota Vikings concluded mandatory minicamp 6 days ago. Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com and yours truly, Paul Allen, will share some thoughts when we return to Vikings Tonight across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, and I'm Paul Allen. Offseason-wise, Wabby at Vikings.com, what can fans expect?
Well, we've been busy all offseason because we've had an offseason program, which has been really cool and a change from last offseason. We've been doing a lot of things. We have a new video mailbag segment called Pick Six. Yep. We do a 30-minute podcast every week called the Wobcast. We keep doing that. We've covered our press conferences. Mike and Jordan and Alan and Jay and the guys have been working on highlight videos from practices. We have a new slow-motion camera, apparently, that the guys have been shooting with. So we put together some really cool highlight videos. We've kept pace with the stadium situation, obviously, a couple community events, a playground build that we always do, the golf tournaments. So a lot of stuff up there, and it's been great having a normal off season as opposed to last off season with the lockout, because now we have access to players and coaches, and we've had a good off season.
Minicamp concluded 6 days ago for the Vikings, so the team shuts it down for a month and change, then begins training camp late July, preseason August 10th against San Francisco. Jarius Wright, the diminutive receiver from Arkansas.
Yeah.
According to my friends with the team, kind of jumped out of his skin during minicamp. They saw him during rookie camp and during the organized team activities, and nothing really overwhelmed anybody. But the only overwhelming that was done was the playbook with Jarius Wright. Mm-hmm. And that happens frequently with rookies. Then we got to the mandatory minicamp with the Winfields and the Chris Cooks and Chris Carrs and Zach Bowmans and so on. And from what I understand, Jarius Wright really, really jumped up sweetly.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was a big improvement. That's what you saw. And maybe it was disheartening at first to watch the rookie minicamp and not see Jarius Wright stand out as much as you hoped he would.
Yeah.
But I think to a certain point, we have to expect that from a rookie who plays offense at a rookie minicamp. That's probably going to happen more often than you think. But then when we got with the full team workouts and Jarius had a few weeks to get into that playbook and work with our coaches, he did look a lot better.
Yeah.
I saw a big-time improvement from him. And he's one of those guys that Mike Prefer has in the kick return rotation, trying to figure out which guys can do it and which guys are going to be in that competition during training camp. It won't surprise me if Jarius Wright is in that rotation that Mike Prefer sets up to see who's going to be the kick returner. So he has a very good chance to make an impact on this team offensively and on special teams. Jarius Wright, the fourth-round pick, could turn out to be a very good pick by Rick Spielman and company.
You put me on Jerome Simpson during organized team activities. Of course, I know who he is. We all saw him flip over Darrell Washington, linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, perfect 10 on the landing when he played with the Bengals. But I didn't get a chance to watch organized team activities, so I kind of wanted to see it for myself. They're very, very high on Jerome Simpson. And the speed aspect and what it's going to potentially bring to the offense with him stretching the field, commanding attention from safeties, and then what they can do underneath with some of their playmakers.
I think he's a professional wide receiver. that plays on the outside and is a vertical threat. Yep. Now, we haven't necessarily had a receiver who can do that to Jerome's caliber. And so it'll be interesting to see if what Jerome has done on the practice field can translate into regular season games. And what you saw, what I saw anyway, in the offseason program, the OTAs, and then the mini camp was a really good rapport and trust between Ponder and Jerome Simpson. You just saw those two hooking up quite a bit on the practice field. That was really good to see.
Yeah.
Ponder trusting Jerome and throwing the ball to him. And it's not just, hey, Jerome, line up out wide and run as fast as you can in a straight line down the field. It's not just that. He's running the route tree. He's running comebacks and digs and shallow crossers and the entire route tree. And that's what we want out of that outside receiver, not just a one-trick pony that is a vertical speed threat. We want a complete receiver on the outside who has something to prove and someone that Christian Ponder can trust. And in Jerome Simpson, I think the Vikings have that.
And for the Vikings Radio Network, what will be interesting to watch is during the preseason how they utilize Jerome Simpson, because you can't push too many chips in on him too early because he's going to miss the first three games of the year.
Yep.
But he's also going to be absolutely your biggest game changer on the outside when he comes back for game four. So when training camp begins, he'll be with the ones. He'll get a lot of run in the preseason. You'll get excited about number 81, but then all of a sudden he's going to be gone for three games.
Yeah, and the Vikings are going to figure out they're going to have to figure out a plan for those first three games, and it's going to play into roster decisions at the end of training camp when they make their final cut down. Are they going to keep an extra receiver? Probably, because Jerome Simpson will be gone. Then when Jerome comes back from that suspension, do they keep that receiver or do they take from another position? It's just something that Rick Spielman and Leslie Frazier and their staffs are going to have to just figure out. It'll be interesting to watch. It'll be a great relief, regardless of how those first three games go. If they go well and then Jerome Simpson comes back, it's just whipped cream on top, you know. And if they're not playing well and then Jerome Simpson comes back, it's going to be kind of a beacon of hope that we'll hold on to for those first few weeks. So either way you look at it, after that third game, having Jerome Simpson back is going to be a huge plus for the offense.
90 seconds, your biggest concern with the Vikings leaving minicamp?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's not so just a concern, it's also a good thing, but it's youth on defense. I think the Vikings are going to be young at a lot of important spots on the defense. I think that's good because you don't know what that ceiling is, and we need to improve there. So I think it's good to be young there. But then you also might find you might see a lot of mistakes that young players make in the NFL, especially going against the sophisticated offenses that we face in our division, although we don't play more than two division games until week nine, so maybe that's a good thing. But I think it's youth on defense. Josh Robinson at corner, how much is he going to play? Jasper Brinkley, middle linebacker, is that going to work out? Yeah. Christian Ballard, Everson Griffin, the Guyton kid that we drafted, young defensive lineman, Brian Robinson, the safeties, who's going to start at safety? They're going to be young players probably. So I think it's just youth on defense. It's a double-edged sword. It's good because they're young and athletic, they can move, and they have high upside. But it cuts the other way, too, because they might make some mistakes as young, inexperienced players.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. The show is produced by Joe Nelson. Thanks for listening. That's Vikings Tonight on the Vikings Radio Network.